Hello and welcome to the women. Actually, I've just changed the name of the show to the Divine CEO Show. I had a bit of an aha moment, Trina, overnight. It was like, okay, maybe the show can just be Divine CEO, then it kind of all matches now.
Consistent. Yeah. Yeah, that's funny because the post I put Divine CEO Show. So we are in
fantastic. We're in sync. And so welcome here, welcome viewers, if you're watching right now or at any point in time, maybe you find this on YouTube or Facebook or on a podcast or wherever you may find it, you are welcome here. And I'm just really feeling so blessed, so grateful to be connecting again today with super guest Trina Ramsey. Welcome to the Divine CEO Show, Trina.
Thank you. Thank you for having me back. It was such a blast last time. And even our conversation last week talking about this, like it was almost like we were having the show. So I just love being in space with you.
Thank you for saying that. And I too feel exactly the same way. We have great conversations and it's always in that flow and ease. And so, yes, I'm excited for what's coming through today. And Trina, before we begin, I'd like to read a little bit about you for those that may not have seen the last show, which I'll put the link to in the bio to your last show in this as well. Yeah. Trina, your website is great. It's Just Do You Institute. And Trina, you're an executive and career coach and author, speaker and nonprofit consultant. And you support many women leaders who to live their best lives, coloring outside of the lines to live joyous, purpose-filled lives. Is this you? Let's talk. Perfect segue. Yes. Why women, Trina? What is it about working with women?
Yeah. It's interesting because when I first became a coach, you know, they teach you to declare your niche. And I, you know, was resistant to declaring a niche in the first place. And my first few years, I started out very generic as a result. And as I continued to get more training and working with business coaches, it became very clear that my voice, like I was really to support other women like me, that my journey, you know, with the ups and downs, the career changing, the persistence, the overcoming self-doubt and limiting beliefs, are common to a lot of women, but I did choose women over 40 because I feel like those early stages of life, it takes a while to get our sea legs. You know, it takes a while for us to be willing to face discomfort and to say no and to have, you know, your grown girl pants on, so to speak.
Yes, it does, doesn't it? It takes a while to get grounded. So it's great, isn't it? When we find that, you know, when our heart kind of connects with like a magnet, oh, that's where it is. That's who I can help. That's who I'm here for. This is who I'm here for. Yeah. And then it's amazing because our worlds open up and it's ease rather than trying to make something happen.
Yes, 100%.
And so last time you came onto the show, and I know we touched on it also on a call we had last week, about because we were talking about success last time and the meaning of success and how we can not even redefine success, but get back to the truth of what success means. And we said, oh, let's have another show and continue this conversation. Yeah. And so is that what you feel you'd like to talk about now, Trina? Yes,
absolutely. Absolutely. And as a matter of fact, for those who don't know, I'm just going to do a plug for you, Dr. Laura. I am a contributor also to the Divine CEO magazine.
You are.
And so I contribute an article every month. And when we talked earlier this year and really landed on this space around defining success on your own terms, then I was inspired to actually write a piece for the magazine about it. So that's part of what I would love to dig into today.
Yes. That is so great. And yes, Trina, you are a wisdom writer and a wisdom teacher and expert, and you shine in the magazine. And I'm just so grateful for you being there and being present, and the words of wisdom and the articles that you write, which are really, they're profound. And I love the way that you lay them out. And it's very clear and easy to digest. And there's always great information at the end of the article to give the reader, give it back to the reader. So thank you for all that you are and all that you be. And you wrote a pretty powerful article, and it was about, or it is about, defining your own success. And there are quite a few pointers here on the article. Actually, it's a great article. Which magazine did that one go into, Trina? March.
March, yep.
March, you can find the March magazine on the website. I'll put that link up later for you. So let's start. Where would you like to start with this, Trina? Because it's really packed with gems, this article.
I love to go organic. So let's just kind of like dive in. And I do have some points, you know, and we can kind of go over those. But I think the impetus of our conversation, everything that I talk about around Just Do You, is really about tuning into your inner voice and making decisions that are for you, like to find ways to resist all of the outside noise and what others, you know, what have you do, or, you know, the voice of those well-intentioned loved ones who are like, oh, no, what do you mean you're going to quit your job? Or wait a minute, you know, don't you need benefits? Or, you know, all those different things that keep you safe, but also keep you calm and in a box. And then I do think that in this world where, you know, we have technology, there's so much around external measurement and so much around what is the bottom line? How are you contributing to the bottom line that keeps us on this hamster wheel of success and keeps us on this very unhealthy pattern of proving?
Yes, I really resonate with what you've just said about the bottom line. It's almost like that's the reason for everything. Mm-hmm. And it's a made up version of success. Mm-hmm. So it's not even a valid, it's validated for whoever validates it, but it's like we on some level, and I don't want to say the words especially women, because I think in general, yes, as in general, we make agreement to this idea of success. And then it's like you've just said, then when we kind of get to the truth of it, what success really is, and discover that for ourselves, it feels like we're kind of copping out. It feels like it's a cop out, and we're not, going with the flow of what society says.
Yeah. And also I believe that the stress of trying to measure up and trying to keep up also then it can turn into like negative health consequences. And I will say, and I've been a little bit more transparent about this, I did leave my nonprofit career back in October. So I've been working for myself full time after 14 years as a coach and 25 years as a nonprofit fundraiser, and the last 5 years in the C-suite. Earlier in the fall, I was having chest pains. There was so much pressure around, like, and fundraisers, you know, it's just like salespeople. You live and die by the numbers, right? And every period, whether it's a fiscal year or a quarter, you start back at zero and you're going uphill again. And in nonprofits, there's also a lot of either real or perceived scarcity. And so there's just all this pressure, and I had to go be seen and got a lot of tests done, and thank God I'm fine. You know, I was fine, but everything turned out that, you know, there wasn't anything physically wrong with me. It was stress. And that was because I had been decades long on this while I was, you know, espousing the whole Just Do You and living for yourself. I also was still kind of caught up in this, I'm just going to say the word trap, of trying to prove myself and not giving myself enough credit for who I am authentically.
I think you've powerfully touched on something there for me, that while you were creating your business, which just do you, and your way of life, really, which is what you really believe in, your heart, passion, and mission. And then you were caught in this other story of what success really means. So it's like balancing or juggling those two internally, juggling those two worlds. Mm-hmm. That's a lot. And we do that, don't we? We make agreements with, I believe this, and yet I'll do that.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. It's not, there's no alignment, it's out of alignment. And I was very much living in these two worlds. I had my nonprofit life and all of the rigor and all of the, you know, I, you know, had a very nice salary. You know, I was leading a team, and even my team was exhibiting the stress that we were all under as well. And I was trying to like eke out and do the things that I wanted to do and be successful in my coaching practice out of this teeny tiny little amount of time that I was afforded around the edges of this very demanding career.
And how was it for you to come away from that career?
It was not planned. It was out of necessity. And so I was on this perpetual, in 2 years I'll be ready. Or when I get closer to retirement age, I'll be ready. And I really do believe that God pushed me. God was like, no, you're ready now. Go. You have to go. This is the time. So just go do it. And so, there was a sense of freedom, but also a bit of like deer in headlights, if I'm being completely honest. Like, okay, well, I get to do it, but blah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm having a hot flash. This is.
Oh, I love that. I want one of those. I need one of those.
I set up 10 on Amazon for like $12. All different colors.
My version. Yours is so much more glamorous. Oh gosh, I remember when I was in a career that I was in for many, many, many years. And then, yes, you know, the push to stop and move on and really follow my heart. And I remember I could never, because it was in fashion and retail. Yeah. And it was in a very kind of in London, and I couldn't walk down the road. I couldn't walk down the street after I'd left. My body didn't want to go down that street. It was a busy street that the shop was in. For years, I couldn't. It was like, I feel so relieved that I'm now in my truth. But it's not always easy, is it? To actually then, like you said, okay, food in the cupboard.
Yeah, but I will say it's been about 6 months now since I embarked on this new era of my journey, and I have so much more peace. I'm, you know, have my own time. I definitely am, you know, attracting the clients that are like just perfect for me. I'm building a whole new program we talked about the other day when we talked, and I actually created a program during the pandemic called Sweet Freedom, and I have said on multiple occasions, I am in my own sweet freedom season.
Oh my God. So would you share a little bit about that program? And then would you share a little bit about the program you're creating if you'd like to?
Yes, I'd love to.
I'd love for you to do that.
Okay. The way I describe sweet freedom is basically I took the whole kind of the building blocks of the idea of just do you, and kind of doubled down on it. So it really is, and I've worked with people in groups, but also one-on-one. And I'm not doing group coaching around Sweet Freedom right now, but I do offer kind of a VIP curated version of it. But it really is choosing to say yes to what you really, really want while deciding what it is that you have to let go of. So that's what I just did, right?
Yeah.
But it really is, and that can manifest itself in a lot of ways. It can certainly be career, but it also can be things like, where do I want to live? I've always dreamed about, you know, traveling abroad, or, you know, having a nomadic type of existence, or, you know, who's the partner for you? And if you're in the right relationship, or if you're doing what you need to, if you want a relationship and you're not in one, what is it going to take for you to actually do the work to be in the space to attract the person that's right for you? So I work very closely with people. There's kind of a process that I go through to really face the uncomfortable truths of the life that you're living, yeah, and create the space for the power and the bravery to make some declarations and take action, and then to actually go through the process of starting to make that happen.
And when you say the word declaration, I kind of inside, I was like, yeah, this means business. And I think that's really powerful that you use that word, because otherwise it can be like, oh yeah, I'll say it, but it doesn't really, I mean it today, but I won't mean it tomorrow. Yeah. Declaration is like, that's it. Exactly. This is it. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And of course, coaches, this is what we do. We work with our clients to declare a thing and then hold you accountable to actually right. do the work to make it happen. Right. Mm-hmm.
And so now would you define yourself as living successfully? Would you define yeah. what you're doing now as the success?
Oh, yeah. This is so perfect. It's so perfect. Yes. Yes. And, you know, it's because I'm, you know, when I, a lot of coaches look at a lot of different metrics or different areas of life, whether it's health, romantic relationships, relationship with family, finances, career, spirituality, all of those things need to be in concert for you to be really living your best life. And because I was out of balance for quite a long time, and because I was also living in fear, and I believe we talked the last time about me losing my mother and kind of the, you know, the impact that all of that had on my life and how it took me decades to even be able to talk about that and have freedom in that space. So I'm getting married in October. I don't know if we talked about that.
We did.
Yes.
I forgot it was October, so it's coming around quickly.
Yes. I met my true soulmate. I've been married before, so has he. And I've been on my own for over maybe 15 years or so. And he and I have been together for a little bit over 4 years. I think that's right. And so being in a space where you have someone who really believes in you, who's got your back, who is like 100% on your team, and also just fun and quirky and all that kind of stuff. Like having that in my life while I'm finally, after 14 years of kind of like grinding and being in the fits and starts of, you know, I will just say hobby mode to a certain extent in my business. Now, I have had success along the way, but, you know, I couldn't make a living at it. But now I am. You know, I'm not yet at the place of the salary that I was making before, but at the same time, I really have reconciled that was not the thing. The amount of money and the salary was never the thing, but you right. can get really tricked into chasing that. And I know there's a lot of people in like the coaching and business development space who are like, here, I'm going to make you a millionaire and all that kind of, you know, yes, money is fantastic. Don't get me wrong. But if you are pursuing money at the expense of your well-being, yes. your peace, your yes. Values, then yes. you're not doing the right things.
Yes. Yes. It's so, and even the coaching industry and the coaching space and the personal self-development space over the years since I've been in this, there are so many more messages now about, you know, six figure, seven figure, eight figure. And it's almost as if, well, there's such a pressure on on me. And I put that pressure on sometimes. It's like, oh my gosh, is this really the way to go for all of this now?
Right. Right. And you know, there's nothing wrong with it. Money is what makes the world go wrong.
Yeah.
Around. But it also is like, enjoy your life while you're pursuing it. Create those spaces for peace, serenity, you know, living healthy, taking care of your body, getting the rest you need, getting the exercise you need, you know, so that you're not part of my Sweet Freedom program, I talk about being your own horrible boss, which I have been. You know, you can be so driven, even working for yourself, that you are not taking good care of yourself. You're not present for your family, the loved ones in your life, because you are so kind of doggedly single-handedly focused on that goal and that measurement of success that you're kind of losing in other areas of your life.
Yes. And then building something, it's like building a universe, because that can be the trick as well, that we're kind of like a false sense of security. This is what I'm building for my life. This is going to be the thing. And then on the journey, life becomes really kind of a struggle bringing that forwards, because then we don't leave space for going out, having fun, being childish, being free, doing those things that we want to do, you know, just because. Because it all becomes about, you know, being in this single vision of what it is that we want. We lose the joy of life.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And that's, for me, that's, you know, the book I wrote, Just Do You, A Declaration of Independence from Guilt, Obligation, and Shame. It really, freedom is a piece of it, and joy, and, you know, being happy with who you are, regardless of whatever external measurements of your quote unquote worthiness are out there, which also gets to, you know, some workplaces are very driven by external measures of, you know, hitting your targets and, you know, SMART goals and all those things that are important in order to move things forward. But if that becomes the whole point, and you're leaving out like who you are as a person, one of the things that I think is really important as a leader is to model a balanced leadership style. So you take your vacation time, you make sure that you're not emailing people at 1 a.m. or over the weekend and having them think that, oh, well, if my boss is doing this and maybe I should be doing it too. Bring humanity back into the equation. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. And our own sense of spirituality as well.
Exactly. Exactly.
Because that for me means really being aware of who I am and the peace that I am, and not creating a life that is not that.
Exactly.
Living a life as peace.
Exactly. Oh my gosh. There was a something I heard. Have you heard about the acronym for ego?
Edging God out.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. We're so busy on our own program, and you know, we might be praying about something and God's trying to talk to us, but we're not even creating a space to be in conversation or to receive. And, you know, I will laugh sometimes, like, okay, well, that's what you're doing. Go ahead. See how it works for you. You know?
Yeah. I'll be here when you call me for coaching.
Coaching, exactly.
And so now what I love that you're doing now is that you are creating a program that is really intentionally, it's going to help people and serve people that are in the space that you came out of, because that was the situation with your health and the stress from that. And now you're creating your own program to go back into that industry from a whole other perspective with a new way, teaching people, showing people this new way for their nonprofit, as nonprofit leaders, to be able to redefine success for themselves.
Yes.
That's so powerful. It's brilliant.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm having so much fun creating, you know, I'm a, in the Myers-Briggs, one of my letters is N, intuition. So I love being in that space of creating and, you know, kind of forming things. And so, yes, I'm having a blast with it, but I'm still in the lab, but I can say a little bit about it. It really is helping leaders to focus on three dimensions: themselves, number one, which sometimes we completely leave out of the equation, right? Yes. Like, we're so focused, especially in nonprofits, we care. It attracts heart-centered people and people who care so much almost to a fault, you know? And that's part of the reason why a lot of people who work in nonprofits are so stressed and exhausted, is because they are, you know, the starving children need us, the people who have a Habitat Home need us, the children who need an education, you know, or, you know, who are in rehab or whatever the cause is, there's so much pressure around making sure that they are getting what they need, that we're just willing to just kind of like run ourselves into the ground. And then the culture within many organizations, not all, also kind of sets up the building blocks that will have people be in that self-sacrificing mode. So the first thing is self. The second thing is workplace. So it's like, who are you as a leader and what are you bringing into that workplace, and how are you actually shifting what I was just talking about, your relationship to work and your relationship to leadership, so that your team can be unified, that your team can thrive, that the team can also reclaim their own humanity while they are doing the good work that they're doing, which I believe is going to have a ricochet effect within not just the workplace, but also within their lives as well.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
It has to be a ricochet.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, and then the last one is the community. And so it's really about how can you, you know, in some nonprofits, there's also this kind of like savior complex thing that happens where the community are the poor people that we're helping, but, and then we're here and they're there and it's a one-way relationship. It's like, how can you actually win the hearts and minds of everyone who is in your ecosphere, such that they become your advocates and they become your ambassadors and they are excited to really spread the word about the good work that the nonprofit is doing because they benefited from it, and also being like intentional. So there's like a science around it that, you know, I'm, you know, planning on bringing in people who are experts in various parts like marketing and fundraising to really help people to kind of nail that sweet spot, because it's like it's one piece that we just kind of like, we're too busy and too stressed just trying to deliver the programs that sometimes we don't think about those other pieces that will really create some magic there. Yeah.
My word. Do you think, Trina, that that a part of this, as you're saying it, and it sounds incredible, by the way, not by the way, actually, that is the main point. It sounds amazing. But by the way, do you think that that a piece of this is because, I don't know if the nonprofits in America or just generally, you would know because you've been working in that arena for so long, that they're teaching, not teaching people how to fish, they're giving people the fish. So that then becomes this codependency of handing out, taking, rather than how can we really open up and educate people to do things differently?
Yeah, I think that that can be the case for some nonprofits, for sure. And for others, part of their model is actually teaching people to fish, but there still can be some stress and dysfunction within the organization while they are serving. I think particularly my last couple of jobs were in the education field. And so it's really all about like equipping those young people to be self-sufficient and self-reliant in the future. And while I was at the last organization, part of what we did was to really, there was no looking at the students in the 50-year organization, the students who had graduated and gone on to build good lives. There was no alumni arm at all. You know, like that's, that's gold. These are people who have, who are better as a result of the great work that this nonprofit is doing. And so why wouldn't you just kind of like create that connective tissue to say, hey, where, what are you up to now? Yes. Would you have to come back and speak to a grade school class? Would you have to be a mentor for other students? Would you share your experience on social media? You know, those are the kinds of things that we can really inspire the people who have benefited from the organization, and then actually help them to thrive themselves. And also to feel, it shifts the power dynamic too, because now they're actually part of the solution as well.
Yes. And they've learned and come back and sharing it from a new perspective.
Yep.
And isn't it incredible though, right now here in 2024, that we're in an environment and an atmosphere in the world where it's so much easier now to start your own thing, to start your own organization that's either a nonprofit or a charity or a social impact. More and more people are turning to that way of creating their businesses as the business model. Now it's, and I think this is where we can empower others through our business with these models. I think it's fantastic. It's not just about having, it's not only about having charity shops and goodwill shops. It's like now people are really doing amazing and really unusual things to make impact. Even things like, you know, buy a plant and we'll plant a tree or that kind of thing. It's so powerful.
Absolutely. And it is one of the gifts of the technology. You know, now, you know, I think we were already, you know, a global economy and very connected, but the pandemic almost forced us into that even more so, because we kind of like were stuck in our houses, and a lot of businesses were formed from that, you know, during that era as well. And there is just a lot more flexibility, a lot of ways that you can like start something with a very low budget and be able to make an impact, and not, you know, it's just a different world from decades ago when our ancestors were, you know, like you got a job at the plant and you stayed there until you retired, and then you got your gold watch and your pension, and that's just the way it was, you know.
So success for you is not only defining, you know, our own lives, our own jobs, but also globally how we navigate our work in the world from a greater perspective, to be able to give ourselves this like the green light to say we can do whatever we want to do if it's in our heart.
Yes, absolutely. And I do think that part of that too means reframing your relationship to failure. And I don't even know if I had that on the list or not.
No, I'm looking, that isn't actually on the list. There are other amazing things on the list that I'd love to talk about, but no, talk about that for a moment, Trina.
Yeah. So there's, I know this is a woman's show, but one of my favorite examples is Michael Jordan.
Oh no, it's a show for anyone that's watching now. It's perfect. We're the women of power. Everyone's a woman of power. Because divine. Well, it's divine CEO now. So it's the divinity within.
But Michael Jordan, there's a powerful video. I don't know if you've seen it, where he talks about failing over and over and over again, how many times he's lost the winning shot, how many free throws he's not made. And by failing is how he succeeds. And I do believe that we have to stop thinking about success. I'm hearing a little bit of feedback. Are you hearing that?
No, I'm not hearing it. No.
Okay. I'm good to keep talking.
Hopefully. You okay?
Yeah. But I think that we have to think about if you try something and it doesn't work, that's information. That's, you know, as Thomas Edison said, you know, okay, that's another way that I learned that that's not how you create the light bulb. And it all becomes this kind of mosaic of experience that will help you in continuing to grow and learn, as opposed to, oh, it didn't work, I'm a failure, and then also kind of beating yourself up about it. It really is important to have that level of resilience and to shift your narrative around what it means to be successful, and mm-hmm. understanding that part of it is being in the journey. When I work with my clients, a lot of times I'll have them face the worst case scenario, because, you know, once you actually face it and then kind of go, okay, so, you know, what if, you know, you lose this job, you know, what will happen? Well, I'll have to, you know, figure out something, maybe I'll get another job. Or what if you start this venture and it doesn't work? Well, you know, maybe I'll be homeless. Okay, well, then what? You know, and you just continue to kind of dig in a little bit further to help people realize that even the worst case scenario is recoverable.
Yeah. And it might not feel like it in the moment when, you know, thrown into it or living in it, it might feel quite desperate. And yet that's also part of the journey, isn't, well, from my own experience, that's part of the journey to get really get to the core of that resilience and resourcefulness and reframing my life and the situation.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So when clients work with you, when they have the absolute honor of working with you, do you take them through a process where they then also declare their own idea of success, like really reinvent their own idea of success?
You know, it's interesting. And I might have to, after this show, I might have to add this into my Sweet Freedom methodology, because it's like so rich and so good. But I do think that it's kind of innate to the coaching experience. But I do think it's worth actually calling it out very overtly. So just say thank you for creating this space to even be in this conversation about it.
Oh, thank you. I mean, it came up and we couldn't ignore it, could we, last time? Because it was kind of very bold in the show and success. And even since then, like last week, I thought about success. I thought about what I was creating as in my own mind as what success means. And it's a constant re-evaluation. It's not a one and done, is it?
No, or it shouldn't be. Let's say it like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Because I think
I'm on the right track.
Yeah. I think that a lot of society operates in a right, wrong, win, lose, kind of binary type of way of evaluating things. So, you know, you think about the families for whom everybody's an attorney. And so, you know, and then you have a son or daughter who wants to be an artist, and they're like, what do you mean? You know, you have to be an attorney, you know? So, and then, you know, that person might turn out to be like an Andy Warhol, you know, or a Frida Kahlo, you know, who's like amazing. And, you know, being willing to like not subscribe to others' external visions of success, and maybe even your own. So say you started a business and you're like, you know, I'm really trying to get to six figures. I'm really trying to be a millionaire. Well, what if you made $500,000? Does that mean you're not successful? Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think
And then for me, it kind of goes to, and what about the people I'm reaching and touching? That's exactly. Oh my gosh, that for me, that's my magnet.
Exactly. And I have a client who started her business some time ago, and I've been a client of hers. She's been a client of mine. And, you know, she's also an achiever. And there was one time where I had to kind of like, listen, think about the people who have been in your orbit for the last 5 years since you've been doing this, and look at what they've done and look at what you helped them to produce. Like, I actually had her go through the exercise of taking stock of that, because if you're in a like, okay, you're not got another deadline, I got another thing to produce, that you actually kind of lose track of the successes, because some of them are more intangible and have that ripple effect that I have referred to, that you just referred to as well.
And so that's why you're doing what you're doing, because we don't believe in the, you know, we can't see it, we don't believe it. And so the intangible successes, we might not see the ripple of the fourth person who knows that person who knows that person who you coached, but yet the message has got through from, you know, yep. we don't see it, and yet it's happening. Yep. That's success, isn't it?
Yes, yep. absolutely. And very rarely, every once in a while, I had a fun thing happen the other day. The book that I have actually has journal prompts in it.
What's the book called again? I'm going to write a banner for it. Oh, you can. Yes. Thank you. Don't need it. Just Do You. Perfect. It's on your website.
Declaration of Independence from Guilt, Obligation, and Shame. And it's on Amazon, but it actually has pages where you can write. And there's 50 lessons from, I started writing it right when I was, I think I was 49 when it first came to me. And so it was published when I was 51. But she had opened to a page about play, and she sent me a little video snippet where she had written on lines, but all in the blank page afterwards about, you know, about the concept of play. And I was like, yes. And this is someone who has my book since it was published in 2017. And she's like, I'm just now going through it. And then she dyed her hair purple, you know, she was like, this is play for me, you know? And so that I was just like, oh, but you don't get that all the time. You don't get the feedback, you know?
Yeah. And also things like play, some people, I mean, I'm going to speak for me, you know, sometimes it's like, well, that can go at the bottom of the list. And I wouldn't, you know, it wouldn't necessarily be the exercise that I would do first off. And yet, when I do really play, that's when life opens up. Exactly. Funny that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So success, what I'm thinking of, I'm going to read through your, I don't know if you have the article in front of you. Yeah. I've got it here. I'm just going to read through each point, and maybe you could share one or two sentences on each one.
Okay.
As I read them. Okay. Number one is define your own success.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's all what we were just talking about. We get to decide for ourselves. And in some cases, it can be very radical. In some cases, it can be very subtle. And so you get to make a choice of what success looks like for you. And I also believe that, you know, having it be like attainable. Like if your goal is to have $1 million business, maybe maybe your first year goal is a little bit short of that. Maybe it is $500,000, or maybe it's 250K, you know, so that you can actually feel the power of having that success. And if you're in a space like I am in, which is like a bit of a redesign, then let's look at how are you like the first thing I said about when you said, oh, are you successful now? I'm like, yes. And I talked about my relationship, right? Yes. So that is a really big part of my life, and part of the reason that I am comfortable being able to make the change that I've made, and not in a like scarcity conversation about money. Not everybody has that, but find ways to define success, but not make it so like huge that it will feel like, oh, I'm never going to get there.
Yeah. That's a setup for yeah. Next one. Let's talk a little bit about prioritizing self-care. Oh
my gosh.
Trina, that's a,
how much time we got?
You got 30 seconds.
Yeah, self-care is it's just got to be non-negotiable. And it is the thing that very, very much comes at the end, you know, like you said about play, you know, yeah. Sometimes like I used to say, like, because people thought I was crazy for a while doing all this at one time, Trina, when are you going to slow down? I was like, I can rest when I'm dead, you know, kind of thing. But at the same time, you know, my weight was going up. I was not getting my regular health appointments. I've now kind of incorporated meditation and morning prayer and journaling and walking and being just taking better care of myself. And it's, I think it's so important.
Yes, because if not for us, how can we do that for other people?
Because if you're not here, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And what about, let's talk about this one, because I think this is a really powerful one. And we're here with Trina Ramsey. And Trina's talking about success and redefining success. And from your magazine article in March, you've written a piece about connecting with your inner wisdom.
Yes. And I think that you've got to create the space to do that, because if we're always on and we're on that hamster wheel, you don't even have the space to actually ponder things or to go within. And so that can look a lot of ways. For me, when I walk, I don't listen to anything. I don't listen to podcasts. I don't listen to music, because that is time for me to kind of have that personal reflection. And I definitely believe in journaling on a regular basis. And prayer also is prayer meditation are really powerful ways to get the answers that you need as well.
And the last one that I'm going to pull on right now is, which I think is really powerful. I mean, they're all really powerful. There are 10 of them here, and we could do another show unpicking each one on a show. Celebrating your wins.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. How often have we achieved something and like, okay, check that off the list. And like your celebration might be like this big, like, whew, I did it. And you might put something out on social media and then you're like on to the next thing. And you actually don't take the time to really like sink it in and do something powerful for yourself to honor what you just accomplished. And so I think that can be another way that you're your own horrible boss if you're actually not even taking the time. And even like that little story I just told you about the woman with the purple hair and play, you know, that is a celebration as well. That's an acknowledgement that someone is still getting something out of something I wrote, you know, a number of years ago. So, but it is important, because otherwise we are still treating ourselves like machines.
Yes. And treating ourselves to the same degree that we were being treated in an environment of a job that we didn't even like. So it's like breaking that habit of not acknowledging our own wins and celebrating the greatness of things that we do.
Yes.
And bring to the world.
Oh, something just came up for me. I want to add on to that. And that is about self-promotion.
True. There I have connected with you on Instagram, Trina. I've connected with you on Instagram.
But I do think that we can be worried about looking, you know, like drawing too much attention to ourselves or bragging or whatever. But, you know, the truth of the matter, particularly if you're in business for yourself, it's important to continue to put out there what you're doing and to talk about it and things like that. And celebrating your success is part of your brand. So it is really important to actually share. Like I actually shared on an IG Live that little story yesterday, you know, because it just was like, it was very casual and it wasn't like, hey, I'm the greatest because blah, blah, blah. But it was just like a nice little nugget that was very personal. And I have gotten over it. It took me a while, which is ironic considering that most of my life was spent promoting causes and
others. And yes. Yeah. And is that the piece that we are invited? I mean, that's a piece of work, isn't it? To really look at where the block is, where the limit is of being visible.
Yeah. One of my good friends, her name is Carrie. She loves to say, own your flyness.
Own your flyness.
Yes.
Love
it. Shout out to you, Carrie.
Hi, Carrie. Good to know you. Own your flyness. I love that. It's true. And own our unusualness and our weirdness and the things that we think would put people off or wouldn't. That's actually what's attracting. Oh, attractive.
God. Love it. Yes. Yeah. Yes. The quirks, the uniqueness. Like, how boring would it be if we were all like the same? If all our personalities were like robots, you know? It's these, you know, like me sitting here with my fan because I'm hot flashing, you know. Like,
love it. I love okay. that fan. You
know, it's okay. Like, if you have a crazy laugh, you know, I'm sure that it makes other people laugh, you know. Rock who you are. I love the fact that you said that. Thank you.
Yes. I made a video the other day and I had my sunglasses on and I was sitting there saying, and afterwards I thought, oh, does that come across a little bit kind of like got my sunglasses on making a video? But it was me in the moment, how I felt, and the sun was beaming and it's fine, owning who we are. And these are all the parts of us that are put down, aren't they? When we're told that's not the way it should be to be successful, you have to do it like this and do it like that and be like this and be like that.
Yep. And that's part of what like kills us. And actually I've gone through some coaching programs where I was, before I actually became a coach, I went through an amazing program through Momentum Education. Shout out to Robinson and his mother, Robin, who's the founder, and Sylvia High, my mentor, who was the first person that I saw in that program. But Robin, she called me out. She was like, what are you doing? You're bigger than you're acting like you are. Why are you hiding? Because I was so, I was told I was bossy. And then my first husband, we had a lot of power struggles, you know, so I kept like shrinking myself and making myself smaller and smaller to be more comfortable and palatable for other people. Forget that. No more.
Well, you know, it takes these experiences, and sometimes they are pretty painful experiences to go through, for us to realize the power of who we are and who we be. I'll always remember Edwin Gaines, Reverend Edwin Gaines, an incredible prosperity teacher, and she told her story. And we were there and performing at the same conference. This was in the UK, 2017. And she was telling her story, really, really, really quite raw story of her abuse when she was a child. And when she went in and then had counseling and therapy with a minister, and he said to her, this is why this happened for you. Because you are a woman of power and you have to show all women and all men and everyone that they have their own power within. And it happened for you so that you could be this teacher. And that's where our woman of power song came from.
Is that right?
Because I was so kind of like so moved by her and her. She was like in her late 80s on the stage standing there, you know, and she said, I'm Edwin Gaines. I'm a woman of power. And that's how she knows what. Yeah, that's how she refers to herself.
Am I ringing?
I'm not ringing. Maybe it's Edwin Gaines.
I'm closing all of the other. I'm like, oh, my gosh.
And so we're here with Trina Ramsey. Divine CEO, woman of power. Trina is a writer in the magazine. By the way, here is the link for the magazine. You can sign up for free and you can read more of Trina as a wisdom writer, the other wisdom writers that are sharing in the magazine. It's free. It's great content every month. And if you sign up, you will receive it immediately. Check your spam, because sometimes it might go there. And you'll get, and you can go onto the website and actually click on the March issue. And there is, well, Trina will be in there, of course, as well, with the article that we're talking about now, which is called, the article is called The New Rules of Success. It's time to live on your own terms. Trina, thank you so much for being here and shining your light today.
Thank you so much for having me. And also, I want to thank you for creating this space, this community, this world, not only here on the show, but also the magazine. It's very well done. There's the women who write it, like, wow, such a collection of beautiful, amazing women. So I was honored to be invited to contribute, and I continue to just enjoy, you know, perusing it when it comes out every month to see what everybody's up to. So thank you for creating this space, and I really
I take that. Thank you, Trina. And you're so right. There are so many of you, the writing in there, it's like, oh my gosh, it can't all be read in an evening. This is a monthly magazine. So keep dipping in, you know, if you download it, you'll find your writers, and I'm sure you'll find Trina, a writer that touches your heart and moves you. So please check out her articles and check out Trina's website. Here it is, justdoyouinstitute.com. You can see her offerings for coaching and her book and all of the amazing work that she's doing in the world. And Trina, come back onto the show, please, and share about your program once it's up and running, and maybe you can share kind of highlights from that.
That'd be great. That'd be
awesome. Yeah.
Thank you again, Laura. You're awesome.
Thank you, Trina. You're awesome. And thank you to the viewers for being here. Connect with Trina. Sign up to the magazine. There you go. You've got some things to do. You're busy.
Bye, everyone.
Bye for now. Divine CEO. Yes. The new show.